Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Well, Dr. Farmer looked at Darla and her husband, Paul. There's good news and not so good news. At this, the couple reached for each other's hands. Dr. Farmer clasped his hands together on his desk. The baby is developing well, right on schedule, in fact. And you, Darla, seem to be doing fine, too. But, he looked at his patient closely, those pains you've been having may just be connected with labor. Darla felt her throat tighten. But, she swallowed hard, it's nearly 2 months till my due date. What are we supposed to do? Before Dr. Farmer could respond, Paul leaned forward. If this baby comes early, he took a deep breath, is that dangerous? From a parent's perspective, what should we know about premature babies? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Today's guest is an expert in the subject of premature babies. Dr. Siva Subramanian is chief of neonatology at Georgetown University Hospital and professor of pediatrics and obstetrics gynecology as well. His research interests include infant mortality reduction, trace element metabolism in infants, neonatology, immunology, and bioethics. He has been married for over 34 years and has 3 children, all grown up and working. Welcome to Parents' Perspective.
Hi, good to be here.
Dr. Subramanian, when is a baby considered premature?
Any baby that is born before the 37 weeks of pregnancy will be considered as premature. Of course, there are different classifications in terms of as they grow younger and younger, but all of them would be premature.
37 weeks out of 40, right?
Out of 40. Mm-hmm. You know, normally the 38 to 42 is considered as full term. So as they cross the 37, they get into the region of being a full term baby. But as they fall below the 37 weeks, then they are premature. As you know, this is something that statistic that has not been necessarily fully publicized, and this we need to make sure people understand, is the prematurity, depending upon the places, maybe either the first or the second leading cause of death in infant mortality. It's quite high. So there has to be more focus, attention, and resources brought to be able to help these parents.
What are the neonatal unit's doctors and nurses' most immediate concerns? What are they most worried about?
Let me also backtrack a little bit and then address a couple of more things that we talked about prematurity, because some of these things the would-be parents would hear. For example, in the past, people used to think babies who are less than 2,500 grams or 5 pounds and 8 ounces were considered premature. That is not necessarily true. They are probably called low birth weight, but not necessarily all of them premature. But more importantly, the story that you read up front gives you a 2 months early. Basically, that means less than 32 weeks. They are all in a category of very low birth weight or more premature than the other group that we are talking about, between 32 and 37 weeks. And now there are babies who are born less than 28 weeks who are even more extremely premature. They're also called extremely low birth weight if they are lower than 1,000 grams or about 2 pounds, 3 ounces.
Oh, my goodness. Can't
what, even is, imagine.
What is the mortality rate with those babies?
In terms of when the babies become younger and smaller, the mortality rate goes up and higher. And for example, full-term babies, almost 99% will survive. But as you drop in terms of the weight group, even though the survival rate has improved dramatically with the neonatal intensive care units, but still, you have, for example, a baby who was born at about 24, 25 weeks and weighing only 600, 700 grams, there is about 30% to 40% chance of survival. But more importantly, normal survival of those babies even lower. But there are babies who will be normal like any other baby, but get smaller and smaller. So we got to keep that in mind as we go through the discussion today, that the younger, smaller babies are probably at more risk than the older preterm babies.
What is it that's immature in a premature infant that's 28 to 32 weeks, say?
Most of the times when we talk about babies who are less than 32 weeks, on the 28 to 32 weeks, the lungs, you know, one of the things that we most worry about, and that is immature, and luckily, and we'll probably talk about it later on, there are stuff that is available now to help them, which we didn't have 30, 40 years ago. And the other immature organs, the heart, the kidneys, the liver, and more importantly, the brain. So all of these things are immature and needs to have the sufficient support once the babies are born to be able to grow optimally and be able to have a good outcome.
How do you support something like the brain if it's not a mature organ at that point?
We are slowly getting better at it. In the past, this used to remain as a black box within which we didn't know what, you know, is there and what's happening. But the current technology allows us to be able to take a look in terms of into the brain as well. You know, there are ultrasound machines, which many of the mothers, if they're going to have premature babies, would have had sonograms. The same technology allows us to be able to peer through the soft spot in the baby's head and look at the brain. And then we also have EEGs, which is the functional testing of the brain, as well as some of the other clinical examination that we have allows us to get a feel for. And then we have developed some protective measures over the years in terms of the advances that have taken place. So, yeah, every organ now we focus on trying to protect and save to the optimal way that we can.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion about premature infants.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Siva Subramanian about premature babies.
What happens to a premature baby in the hospital in the neonatal intensive care unit?
There are, from the moment a baby is delivered, there's a whole host of things that are done, and then it is continued. For example, when these babies are born premature, they really don't have the capacity to keep themselves warm. So providing warmth becomes the number one criteria. In fact, a doctor, Dr. Silverman, who was in New York at the time, this is in the 50s, recognized that babies, premature babies, who were left in a traditional open crib way, which is what was known, had a higher mortality than those babies where they were put in a box, the incubator, for the first few weeks, survived more. Simple observation he revolutionized in terms of the survival of these premature babies by saying these babies should be in incubators, maintaining the temperature for the first few weeks till they can gain. Put a little fat, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, so which they don't have. And so that way they can make sure they can protect themselves. So that's the first and foremost. How do we provide? So we have some technological things, radiant warmers that immediately can do it, dry the baby right away, and then be able to provide some extra heat if necessary before we can move the baby after stabilization into an incubator. Okay. And then comes, obviously, close surveillance. This is a teamwork. What happens in the neonatal intensive care unit is the doctors, the nurses, the respiratory therapists, the social workers, everybody, you know, works together at the same time. This is not just any one man or woman show. You know, it is done together. And this teamwork in the medicine is one of the earliest times that started in the NICU, very much in time. So we watch them very closely. Everything is monitored, the heart rate, respiratory rate, the oxygen amount that is in. So we monitor it closely and adjust as necessary. Some babies may require breathing. They may not have the ability to breathe sufficiently to be able to maintain oxygen. So we have to breathe for the baby. Those machines have gotten better. One of the things we have learned, not alone we are taking care of the baby, we're also taking care of the family. So parent support is now very critical. Whenever we operate family-centered care, supporting the families. As much as we are good at taking care of the babies, it's important that we do that. And that is, these are all the first thing that happens as the babies come. So even while the baby is being stabilized, I run over to the mother to talk to the mother. Of course, I do talk to the father as well to make sure, because it's some garden specimen, that is sitting there. So we do talk to them as well as we are stabilizing the baby. In the past, we used to stabilize 2-3 hours later, the mother will be brought in, we will talk to her. Not anymore. We really make sure we support this. These are the first few things that we do. Of course, there's a whole host of things. You know, you talked about which organs are immature. Every organ is monitored, which is one of the things that is done in the hospital to make sure, because there are problems that can occur in every organ. And so when we talked about what is done, a whole host of things are done. And this is where the specialized units come into place.
How long do premature babies usually have to stay hospitalized?
This goes back to some of the definition that we talked about early on. Those babies who are born only a few days to a week or two than what they should have been at a full term, they probably will stay only for a few days. Then we'll be able to go home. That's causing probably the least disruption. Whereas those babies who are born earlier and earlier, let me give you an example. You know, I can give you a real-world example of what I have taken care of. Is there was a baby that was born at 23 to 24 weeks. I mean, we are talking about 4-5 months, you know, less than what it should have been. So they do stay for 5-6 months in the hospital.
How do parents bond with an infant that's hospitalized like that?
Very good question. This is another area that we have changed. Because we didn't pay that much attention in the 60s and 70s about this particular part. We were very important focusing on the baby. This baby that was born, originally the fear is whether the baby is going to live or die, which is very real. And as the weeks went on by, in the early days, the parents were not that involved. And not because they were not wanting to. We didn't get into it, you know, in the late 80s and 90s. Around 24 weeks, many of them didn't even survive. You know, later on, we probably tried more vigorously. And then it resulted in, at the time of discharge of the baby, no parent. Because there was
bonding.
No bonding. Mm-hmm. So obviously, you know, we have, as a community, we have learned all of this thing together. And so we now involve them from right after the delivery to be involved with the baby as many hours, days possible, at the same time making sure they get their rest and get their nutrition and recover. So when the baby is coming home, they are ready to take care of the baby at home. But we do a lot of things in the nursery now. One such thing is called kangaroo care. You know, this is just like the kangaroo. Almost like that, exactly. But what we make sure is when the mom, this is includes dad as well, when they come, they can sit by the right next to the incubator. We'll take the baby out of the incubator, even if the baby is on a ventilator. As long as the baby is stabilized, we can put the baby on the skin-to-skin contact on the chest of the mother or the father, and then put the gown on top of that. So it is like creating a pocket, you know, and like the kangaroo care. And this really makes a difference, because this is what is done when a full-term baby is born. They take the baby, hold the baby, and they get the feeling and the connection and the contact and the bonding.
Have you noticed that that makes a difference in the viability of the infants?
This is something we didn't even think that that would be a potential benefit in the early days when we did the kangaroo care. We did primarily for the parents. And then we realized the babies are also benefiting, because the baby's heart rate will come down to normal range, the baby's breathing will stabilize, the oxygen will go up. So obviously, the baby is getting the benefit as well, and it was a win-win all the way around, and by increasing the bonding. In fact, I probably should say Kennel, Kloss, I have written a book on bonding of premature babies. That would be a good reading as well, you know, in terms of how many different ways they can talk, sing, and read books, you know, at the incubator. There's a whole range of levels that we can involve them in to be able to, and then later on in the care of the babies themselves. So to develop the bonding. And that is the one of the critical things that we make sure persevere to be able to make sure the baby, when the baby is discharged after 1 week or 6 months, that the parents are right with, you know, in terms of where they should be in terms of taking care of the baby.
What kinds of things should parents know if they're told that they're likely to have a premature infant? You can just see the panic setting in.
Oh, absolutely. As your story, you know, you talked about how as soon as he starts that, her throat tightens, you know. So absolutely, this is one of the fears, because many times they would have heard only bad stories or sometimes miracle stories, you know, one or the other at the end, but not most of them will be in the middle. First and foremost, obviously, you need to be able to confirm that what are the reasons as to why this baby is going to be premature. You know, obviously, sometimes it is because preterm labor, but sometimes because the pregnant woman's cervix changes and it potentially could, you know, precipitate. Or if they've had multiple, if they have twins or triplets, more than likely, sometimes they would fall into the premature category when they are born, even though now the expertise of the obstetricians in terms of taking care of them towards full term is much better.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on premature babies.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Dr. Siva Subramanian about premature babies.
So what kinds of things, if you're on the other side of the table and there's this panicked couple on the other side?
First and foremost is in terms of, after talking to the obstetrician, focus on getting proper rest. Because some indications are there. Prolonged standing over 6 hours a day or long hours of work. And even some people say night work. Some of the things and something you may be under control, we can modify to help change in terms of to prolong the pregnancy longer. Simple things. Better nutrition to make sure both if the baby is born premature as well as to prolong a little bit, getting the strength physically is important to be able to get that. Also, some thought process in terms of where you are in that pregnancy, because as I was mentioning, not all premature babies are getting into trouble just because they are born premature. You know, we talked about babies who are older, bigger babies, 35, 36, 37 weeks in that range. Most of them will do extremely well. And so it's a separation for a few days to a few weeks, which is still, I understand the difficulty, but they will do well. So some, again, getting a feel for how early it is, it's going to be, and then taking additional precautions, you know, in terms of that. One of the areas that I would start focusing on getting the mothers, if they have not been planning on breastfeeding, is if the baby is born premature, it is really, it is helpful for a full term also. We as pediatricians encourage, support. Every woman should breastfeed if possible, unless medically contraindicated. But in those who are going to have premature babies, they need to start preparing about that as well. Some they can do to prevent. There are specific measures in those who have had a previous pregnancy or during pregnancy, early on, if there is a tendency to have premature possibilities. There are some tests that are available, and they can take some medication, you know, that the obstetrician can give, and like progesterone. That seems to help decrease the risk of significant prematurity, especially in those who have had already a premature baby. So there are some other interventions that are available as well that can be done. So there's a whole host of things that is critical that can be done talking to the obstetrician.
Well, we've talked about premature babies and long-term effects and so on. Are there any grown-ups that we know about who were premature?
You know, you'll be actually surprised. You know, some of these people, I'll be going back hundreds of years as well. Sir Isaac Newton, you know, born in 1643, was a premature baby.
He wasn't supposed to be months. Born in 1644.
That's right, exactly. That's good. 7 months he was born. And Winston Churchill, you know, the Shaker and Mover, was born at 7 months. Anna Pavlova, you know, the great
ballerina,
1885, was born premature. It is said Einstein was born also younger.
He would have been much smarter.
Exactly. He already has a big brain, at the time. Johannes Kepler.
The famous astronomer.
This is again going back to 1500, was born premature. And there are a whole host of others, were born premature as well. But these are very famous that are born premature.
It seems that it's miraculous in some cases because they didn't know any of the things that you're telling us are the updates in medicine.
That's right. They did survive and went on to do great things.
Somebody instinctively knew good things to do for those people.
Yeah. In fact, when one situation, they said they kept them in the shoebox with cotton, and then they put milk by drips into the mouth to raise these babies. Can you believe the resourcefulness, of those times? And then they also said they kept them near the fireplace.
Mm-hmm. Instinctively.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes. Well, yes.
That's good news for parents who are thinking, oh, my goodness, what can we do? No more shoeboxes or fireplaces, so that's good. Dr. Subramanian, what resources would you recommend for parents who'd like to research the subject further without sitting there and wringing their hands?
This is something I think, since we don't realize 10% of the pregnancies could end up in prematurity, it probably behooves everybody to get an understanding of that. There are some nice websites. Not all websites necessarily give right information. March of Dimes has a website, and they have a focus on prematurity now. And they give a lot of good information, including before pregnancy, what are the things you have to do, including like taking folic acid and vitamins, not drink alcohol and drugs. So they give a very nice advice before pregnancy, planning on it, while you are having a potential premature baby, and after you are taking the baby home, they give you some very nice websites and address. So March of Dimes anywhere that can be looked at. The National Institute of Child Health and Human Development, NICHD, also has some great resources for the various problems related to prematurity that the parents can access into. American Academy of Pediatrics has got several valuable information, including on the vaccination immunization of these babies. They have that. I mentioned previously about bonding. I mean, this is something two neonatologists, psychologists, and the term itself is bonding by Kennel, John Kennel, K-E-N-N-E-L, and Marshall Klaus, K-L-A-U-S, and Phyllis Klaus. So that's a good book to look at in terms of the bonding part. There is a book that recently was published, Baby at Risk by Ruth Geyer, G-U-Y-E-R. It talks about real cases in terms of what happened. So you don't think about only the miracles, but also the problems. But also you look at the ones that we have done well. and Nemours Foundation, N-E-M-O-U-R-S. Nemours Foundation has got some great resources. Parenting Your Premature Baby and Child by Davis and Stein, S-T-E-I-N. It's another good book to have. There is also the Premature Baby book by Dr. Sears. So there's a whole bunch of things that are available for those who want to read a little bit more before, during, or after a premature delivery.
Which is much better than tearing your hair out.
Yes.
Well, our thanks to Dr. Siva Subramanian for being with us to discuss premature babies today, and we will continue this discussion with Dr. Subramanian on our next program. Thank you so very much. We'll look forward to talking with you in the future.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 400. Tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from the SF Foundation. Our sound engineer is Nate DeLuca. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.